welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark Abel. Gentlemen.
Hello, Mark.
Hi, Mike.
I don't know about you, but I have got a group of patients that are just consumed with reaching 10,000 steps a day. And part of me, it warms the cockles of my heart because we've been preaching exercise and not living a sedentary life. And 10,000 steps is a pretty good number of, steps. I think it might translate to about 4 miles. So, you know, it's not insignificant. The average American walks about 3,000 to 4,000 steps a day. That's somewhere between 1.5 to 2 miles. Recent years, this 10,000 step a day regimen has become entrenched in popular culture. Lest people think it started with technology and wrist devices. It didn't, actually. First of all, 10,000 steps is completely arbitrary. And it comes from a successful Japanese marketing campaign in the mid-1960s. The device called a Manpo K translates from Japanese as a 1,000-step meter. And the manufacturers, it was not an evidence-based study. They were not doctors. They just felt that 10,000 was a number that was indicative of an active lifestyle, and people who did that should be healthy, and they marketed it. Well, along came the WHO, the American Heart Foundation, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and probably a lot more. All have gradually adopted the 10,000 steps as a daily activity recommendation. In recent years, the evidence base for this number has been called into question. I mean, is 15,000 better? Is 5,000 not so good? And for those who are chronically ill, let's say have type 2 diabetes, or older Americans who are used to living a more sedentary lifestyle, there are concerns that making the rapid jump to 10,000 steps a day could have adverse consequences. So you, being a scourer of the literature, you found an article in JAMA. It was published in 2020. It starts on page 1,151, and it attempts to answer the question, is the daily step count and or the intensity of the steps associated with a risk of premature mortality? Mark.
Yeah, this was using data from the NHANES database, which is an annual surveillance study done by the CDC. And there was a four-year period from 2003 to 2006 where they patients were asked to wear an accelerometer during waking hours. And of those who had at least 1 day's worth of data were included. They also had data on demographics like age, gender, education, smoking, alcohol, comorbidities. And they also estimated step intensity based on extended bouts of stepping, whether or not they were, you know, longer walks, essentially, and the peak 1 and 30 minute cadences. So if they were walking faster, that was a sign of intensity. Then they looked at mortality. They looked at the U.S. National Death Index to figure out who had, about 15 years later, died. There were 4,840 participants. They took an average of 9,124 steps per day, which is higher than the typical U.S. average that you mentioned. The incidence of all-cause mortality was 77 per 1,000 person years if they took less than 4,000 steps, only 21 if they took 4,000 to 8,000 steps, and only 7 per 1,000 if they took 8,000 to 12,000, and 4.8 or 5 per 1,000 person years if they took at least 12,000 steps a day. So it does appear that, you know, somewhere around that 8,000 to 12,000 cutoff, there is a really substantial benefit. And at the other end, those taking less than 4,000 steps a day and presumably not getting other exercise had, you know, worse outcomes, higher mortality. This is an observational study. People weren't randomized. There may be other reasons and what we call, you know, sort of a confounding where we aren't able to adjust for everything. And one of the reasons people might not walk as much is because they have other unhealthy characteristics. And so they're unable to walk as much. So that's sort of unmeasured confounding could affect this. But it's a pretty large magnitude going from 77 to 5 with that increasing steps. When I was in Dublin for 4 months last year, I was kind of instructive because I wear an Apple Watch, and my average steps when I was in the U.S. were in the range of, you know, 6,000 to 8,000 or so. As soon as I went to Dublin, it was 15,000 to 20,000 and stayed there. I mean, I was walking well over an hour a day, probably an hour and a half a day to go to and from work. And everyone was walking. They walk fast. They are the fastest walkers on the planet. There's actually research on that. And I never went into a gym, never set foot in a gym for 4 months. And my weight didn't change. I don't think my fitness level changed. And, you know, so I think we can design our communities to encourage walking, and that probably that would have some really good health benefits.
What jumped out at me was the potential bias of those who were walking more than 12,000 steps being those that were particularly fit. And as you said, those at the other end of the spectrum having chronic diseases or perhaps musculoskeletal problems that limited their walking and perhaps limited them in other sorts of ways too. But I've got patients that, you know, really change their days so that they can get those 10,000 steps. And for them, it really is an enormous benefit.
Yeah. I mean, you know, when you're looking at causality, you look at things like dose response, and there's a really strong dose response here. You think about biological plausibility and that it's biologically plausible. They did adjust for a lot of important factors. You can't adjust for everything, right? And so I'm sure there's unmeasured confounding. I'm sure this is overstating the benefit to some extent, but I do believe that that's, you know, consistent with what we believe, that there is benefit to greater physical activity, and we need to encourage it.
You know, sometimes measuring something is very motivating, and, you know, you can follow it and, you know, track it and graph it and do all kinds of stuff. So thank you, Mark. We'll talk with you again next week.
Sounds good.
Well, that's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to read this and other recent poems, please go to www.essentialevidence.com. And please join us again next week for another medical poem.